coming up today on the show, Hurricane Milton has barreled through Florida and it impacted Walt Disney World. We will catch up on that and other news today on Traveling with a Mouse. Welcome, everybody, to episode number 470 of Traveling with the Mouse. My name is Adam. I am joined today, as always, by John.
Yes, Milton had an impact on me as well.
Yes, we'll have to hear about this because I don't know all the details, but definitely impacted your travel.
You don't know all the details?
I just know that you didn't go.
Well, I mean, I don't know what's much canceled. Details. I was like, you know.
Well, you were supposed to go the day it blew through, basically.
Yeah, Thursday was the arrival day for us. It was same as Jason.
Yeah, which, of course, he went through.
Yeah, as it was approaching, there were some areas of concern from members of my party.
Yeah, I mean, rightfully so, too. I mean, it was a strong hurricane. And...
Well, see, my point of view, though, that I tried to convey, I probably should have done it better, but was that it's... Always, they're always hyped up to be one thing, and they usually are another. Which, right. Honestly, what I predicted it being storm strength-wise ended up being exactly what it was. I'm not really trying to toot my own horn there, but I just know from experience now, from paying attention to these storms, just
over and over,
how bad the regular news and regular weather have become hype men or hype people for these storms.
Well,
it's all about the ratings. So,
but it's also the people who are like on the coast are the ones that really need to get out more so than 100 miles inland.
And here's the thing, though. The people who are going to leave are going to leave no matter what they say. And the people who are going to stay are going to stay no matter what they say, pretty much. So,
yeah, they're definitely trying to influence as many people to get out of the way as possible because people do die. I mean, several have. My wife's uncle lives just outside of Tampa. He did stay. He's fine, but he still doesn't have power. You know, he's on a generator currently. He doesn't expect to get it back for at least another several days, probably. So,
really,
yeah,
kind of surprising.
Yeah, he thought it'd be at least a week, maybe 10 days. Total. Uh-huh. He planned for that. He had a generator and several cans of gas for it to. Keep the essentials running for him, so he's fine. But again, it was rough. He didn't say he didn't enjoy it, but he had some folks nearby that were needed extra assistance, you know, so he stayed around to help them out and offered shelter and everything. So
did he have flooding in the area that he stays?
He wasn't kind of in a flood prone area, but he definitely had some damage, like what limbs and things like that. Trees down to stuff like that were definitely a big impact.
Right.
Yeah. And he said that it sounded like a freight train for several hours, like blowing through. You know, it was like the sound of the wind was awful.
Yeah.
So,
not to sound too much like the trailer park that you hear for a tornado. You say it sounded like a freight train coming through that you usually hear. There were some tornadoes that came off of it too.
Yeah, a lot actually in the beginning before it made landfall. Tons of.
Saw a little bit of video of some from, you know, from a distance, obviously. Various YouTube channels had some different coverages of stuff that they've compiled from the storm now at this point.
Yeah, it was definitely a big storm and powerful. Disney did see some damage. By the time Jason got there, though, the next day, Thursday evening, when did he get there? Like Thursday night? So I guess Friday would be the first time he actually saw it in the daylight. When it reopened, everything reopened Friday. He didn't see any damage to report of. Of course, you know, Disney had a whole day to get everything covered up or cleaned up.
And they did, you know, receive a little bit of, we'll call it armchair criticism from some people.
Yeah, for not closing earlier.
Yeah, and the thing is, they didn't do anything any different than they've ever done.
Really. Right, like, they've always kind of done this, yeah. They've always stayed open.
Kind of monitored it. And, you know,
closed like
once it starts getting so far,
early.
I mean, they're realists, to be honest. And people, like I said, people watching the news are watching the hype and they're in business and therefore they're a realist. And then they look at how what's actually happening and how it's going to affect them and at what point. And, you know, So,
and of course, you do think how many cast members they have. They don't all live on Disney property, which I would say is Disney property is probably the safest place to be in Central Florida because of all the
one of
hotels
the...
are very safe, and they have their own power grid where they can return power very easily or quickly.
I couldn't even tell if they lost any. To be
honest. Probably didn't. Yeah. So if I was in Florida, I would want to be at a Disney hotel during the.
Well, I was going to say when you mentioned that about the power, I saw like it have the stream that I saw on a place called I think it's Park Pass TV. If I'm not mistaken, what's the name of it? They had a stream set up from either the Swan or the Dolphin one. I'm not sure which one. That area.
Yeah.
And it was facing toward Epcot, and you can see the beacons of light. It was literally on, like, the entire storm. The beacons of light was...
Doesn't surprise me. I know there's, like, one or two lights that are out sometimes. I wonder if any more. But it wouldn't have been because of the storm, most likely, so...
Yeah, and, of course, when it was all said and done, you see leaves blowing all over the place, a lot of that stuff. Some few limbs.
Polynesian had some damage.
Yeah, actually, had some roof damage. It peeled back on one of the longhouses.
Yeah, I think
I've never heard of that happening before. It's probably the first time, huh?
Well, yeah, first time I've seen anything, Polly. But
yeah,
that kind of brings up one of the stories I wanted to talk about, though, is all the different times Disney World has closed in its 53-year now history, and you definitely can get a sense of the last 20 years or so, there's been a lot more closures due to hurricanes than the first, say, 30 years of operation. So it's definitely more frequent these days. But the first time, it says, was 1985 with Hurricane Elena.
Huh.
And that was August 31st, 1985. They closed early that day. Yeah, this was before my time, but so it was a Category 3 hurricane, and it caused $1.3 billion in damage. I don't know if that's adjusted for inflation or not, but yeah. So it was August 85. So at that time, it was just Magic Kingdom and Epcot. So, and then the next time wasn't until 1999, Hurricane Floyd, which I do remember that name.
Whoa. They didn't close any time between 85 and 89 for a hurricane?
That's what it says, between 85 and 99, yeah. The next time
Floyd. Hurricane Andrew come through there or touch them in some way, shape, or form?
I don't know. This isn't listed as a potential. That was in...
92, I think.
Early 90s, yeah. I don't know.
I remember coming through. Maybe it was far... I mean, okay, I know it hit Miami.
Let's see.
So maybe it was too far south for it to really affect them, but I would be surprised.
Let's see what the path was.
Surprised it wouldn't even close them.
Actually, no, yeah. It shows that shows Hurricane Andrew went sort of over Miami and then into the Gulf and then Louisiana. It made landfall again.
Mm-hmm.
So, it would have impacted them for sure if it hit Miami, but I guess not enough for them to close, like, for a whole day.
What was the strength of Andrew?
Look at the...
For some reason, I was thinking he was a pretty strong cat.
It was...
Like at least a four, I thought.
It hit Category 5 status, but I don't think it hit...
It was after it hit Florida.
Yeah, let's see. When did it... Oh, it made landfall as a Category 3 in Louisiana when it went through the Gulf.
What did it do when it hit Miami, though?
I'm looking. You're making me look this up in real time.
Hey, this was your topic.
But I wasn't talking about my... Hurricane Andrew.
I'm just surprised that it didn't impact Disney. That's what I was saying. So,
well, it doesn't say that Disney closed because of Hurricane Andrew. So,
I don't know what time of day it came through either. So maybe it was overnight and they didn't have to.
All right. Hurricane Floyd was 1999.
I remember
September
Floyd.
14th. And I remember the name. So it was Category 4. It had winds of 155 miles an hour. It says the hurricane never actually made landfall in Florida, ultimately turning away from the coastline. However, the storm still caused $6.5 billion in damage to Florida and surrounding states and the Caribbean islands.
So it never actually hit Florida, but they closed.
Yeah, it says
versus
that
Andrew
they,
that actually did, and they didn't close.
I guess the threat of it, right? Yes, go figure. And of course, 9/11,
right?
Which we were there very shortly after.
There was also a tropical storm, right?
Right.
After that.
It was, but I don't think it would have closed because of that necessarily. But
no, but we arrived during a tropical storm that year.
That's true. I do remember that because somebody had to go get out, go to the bathroom in the middle of the storm. We stopped at a rest stop or something. Anyway.
I don't remember that.
I vaguely remember that. Someone having...
Remember them having... I remember that like the power was out or something when we first got there because they brought us, gave us like a flashlight or something.
At the Polynesian, right? Yeah.
Cause yeah. There was something.
Yeah, for
I do remember flashlights being used for some reason.
Yeah.
That may have been on, like, backup. Do you have your footage of that trip? I know I have mine. Do you still have yours?
Maybe.
I just figured you would.
I'm trying to remember if we do.
I don't know that I have your footage of it. It's the reason. I usually have both.
I have some footage of it. I can't remember if it's ours or yours. But anyway, I'll look and see. Okay, so I don't remember. Did they close on September 12th and then, or did they reopen on the 12th?
They got everybody out on the 11th, actually.
Right. It was early in the morning, obviously. It was before noon when they had evacuated the parks. I think they must have reopened on the 12th. So this isn't technically...
There were a lot of things closed the next day. For some reason, I want to say they were one of those, but I could be wrong.
I don't know, but we got there on, what, the Thursday?
13th. The 13th, yeah. Yes.
So by then, they had reopened.
Yeah.
But a lot of people couldn't get to Disney because the flights were grounded. So if you couldn't drive, like,
right.
A lot of people couldn't get there.
Yeah, that was when we discovered how much interference you don't realize that planes get from sound travel.
Right.
Because we could hear the haunted mansion wolf all the way across at the poly.
Right.
You could never hear that before.
Yes. Which they don't even do that anymore. It's just funny. You don't hear
I don't hear the wolf ever anymore.
But man, you used to hear that all the time.
I think the wolf is just like, you can only hear him if you're right there. Like they just turn the sound way down, I think.
Yeah. Because man, it was so loud across at the Polynesian. You could hear it.
Yeah, because we had like, I don't know, like gone swimming or something that evening. It was like when you go, because we had a room that was on that side of the pool.
Yeah.
You could hear it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. It was definitely an eerie feeling too, with no planes in the air.
That's what I'm saying. That's noise interference that you don't always even realize. But it's interfering
you're so used
with,
to it.
Yeah. But it's, well, that's just it. You don't really hear it, but
interferes. You notice it when it's not there.
Right. Yeah. It interferes with other sounds, how they travel, right? Like
right,
it interferes
right.
with the traveling of those sounds. Like you could hear stuff over Magic like you could hear stuff over Magic Kingdom that you wouldn't normally have heard because of the, you know, the air travel. So,
right. Crazy.
And it interfering with this sound.
The next time was Hurricane Charlie in 2004, which I do remember that name as well.
August 13th. I don't remember that 13th. One being very big.
Yeah, I remember the name Hurricane Charlie, though, but it turned towards Orlando. Walt Disney World closed early. Animal Kingdom never opened that day. Hurricane passed over the parks that night, and they reopened the next day. It was a Category 4 hurricane. It says ultimately caused $16.9 billion in damage and 35 fatalities. Also, the same year, Hurricane Francis, September 4th and 5th. So, none of the parks opened on the 4th or the 5th. So, that's the first time Walt Disney World closed for consecutive days. So, 9/11, they're saying here, according to this article, that 9/11 did not, they didn't have two consecutive days where they were.
I guess for it to be two consecutive days, it has to be the full day, maybe? Or
yeah, because 9/11, they were open in the morning and then they closed, obviously, after everything.
Yeah.
Hurricane Francis was also a Category 4, caused $10 billion in damages, and reached...
Are these all 2004?
Those Charlie and Francis were like 2 weeks apart, 3 weeks apart, kind of like Helene and Milton.
Milton, yeah.
Wow, another in 2004. Jeannie, Hurricane Jeannie, or Jeannie.
I was going to say Jeannie.
Sorry.
Don't blow this horse, Jean.
Yeah, Hurricane Jean, I think it is. Deadliest storm of 2004.
I don't remember it.
Though its worst impact was in Haiti, it did make landfall in Florida, just 2 miles from where Francis made landfall earlier in the month. That was September 26th, Disney World closed that same year. So, man, 2004 was rough. And 2005, too, I remember, of course, But Hurricane Wilma in 2005, October 24th, parks did not open. But after the hurricane safely passed, the parks opened late that afternoon.
So you're just naming the ones, though, that, well, obviously we're talking about Florida, but that was the ones that impacted Florida. But from those years, too, I remember Ivan.
Yeah.
And Katrina.
Katrina was, yeah, obviously the worst that year, but Ivan was bad, too, yeah. 2004 and 5 were both really active years for hurricanes. Side note on Wilma, Pirates of the Caribbean Dead Man's Chest had to pause filming because of the impact to the Bahamas, where they were filming Dead Man's Chest. $26 billion in damages. Hurricane Matthew in 2016, so really between 2005 and 2016. They didn't really have any closures, but Hurricane Matthew.
What was or the dates?
October 6th.
Okay.
And they remained closed on October 7th. Disney Springs reopened on the evening of October 7th, and the parks didn't reopen until October 8th. Matthew actually never made landfall in the United States, but it caused significant damage in Florida. And all the storm caused 731 fatalities, estimated $16.5 billion in damages.
So when they say it never made landfall, so this is like went down the coast, I guess? I mean, it just like hung out right off, just off, was floating just offshore.
Yeah. Let me take a look. Oh, yeah, the path basically skirted up the coast of Florida.
Which coast?
The east coast, the Atlantic side.
Okay.
Teetered very close to Jacksonville.
So that would have meant the lot of the rain and stuff would have been on that side that Orlando was on.
Yeah.
Most
so
likely.
So it definitely was impacted. It just not direct over the eye or anything. But and then, of course, Hurricane Irma in 2017. Disney World Parks closed early on September 9th and remained closed through September 11th. Irma made landfall in Florida's Category 4 and caused minor damage to the parks. Irma is the third strongest hurricane ever made landfall after forming in the Atlantic. It caused over $77 billion in damages. But yeah, that's several days that the Disney World stayed closed there. 2019, Hurricane Dorian. Magic Kingdom Hollywood Studios Animal Kingdom closed early on September 3rd, 2019, as Dorian approached. When it was clear the hurricane would have minimal impact, Disney decided to keep Epcot and Disney Springs open into the evening. While the impacts at Disney were minor, Dorian is still the most expensive disaster in the history of the Bahamas. And of course, COVID-19 was the longest closure Disney ever had.
Oh, they counted that? Okay.
Well, they're saying anytime it closed for any reason, because 9/11 was thrown in there too.
All right.
Of course, March 2020, March 16th through July 10th. Was obviously the longest closure. The parks were closed for 116 days. Disney Springs was closed for 65 days. The longest Disney World was ever closed. Of course, that probably won't ever be broken. Hopefully not. 2022, Hurricane Ivan, September 28th and 29th.
Wait. There was an Ivan in 2022?
Mm-hmm. Ian, did I say Ivan? Sorry.
You did say Ivan. I was about to say,
Ian. Sorry.
Retire these names whenever they...
I know. Whenever it, like, does something bad.
Yes.
Hurricane Ian, sorry. September 28th to 29th. That year it was closed, and it reopened in phases starting on the 30th. Ian famously caused damage to Universal Orlando. I don't actually remember that.
What damage did it cause?
I don't know. To this day, Ian is the costliest hurricane in Florida history. $113 billion in damages. 2022 Hurricane Nicole.
I'm noticing a trend here. It's not necessarily the size of the storm. It's the, as time goes on, the stuff that they have to replace is more expensive.
Yeah, that's true, too.
The inflation.
Yeah. A few months after Ian, Hurricane Nicole hit Florida. Disney World closed early on November 9th. And reopened late the next day between noon and 2 p.m. Hurricane Nicole was only a Category 1. However, it made landfall in an unpredictable path led it to making landfall in Florida twice. Nicole is one of only three hurricanes to make landfall in Florida in November. And, of course, Hurricane Milton, the most recent.
Milton.
Agent Milton, Disney World. Closed early on October 9th, and remained closed October 10th, but then opened October 11th, Friday.
I see, sir.
So you had your lightning lanes and everything booked for October 10th, or yeah, right?
No, So I was scheduled. We were scheduled to arrive late, most likely. Disney's Wilderness Lodge on Thursday, October the 10th, originally.
Okay. For some reason, I thought you had plans that day. So it was the Friday you had plans for?
Yes.
Oh, okay. My bad.
It's Friday. It turned out to be fine, and they were open and everything. But...
yeah, but you never know.
Right.
I mean, I went pretty close to Disney World. I'm curious, is this the closest an eye of a hurricane has ever passed over Disney World? I don't know.
I don't really know. You didn't look that up?
I think Milton, I think Milton was about 25 miles south of Disney World property.
Pretty much right in between Tampa and Sarasota. I don't know the exact.
Well, that's where made landfall, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, I think the eye at some point when it.
Right.
It was like 25 miles south of Disney
property. Right, right.
If I remember right. By the time it got there, what was left of it?
What's left of it? Yeah.
Jason also had tickets for Mickey's Not So Scary that night.
Thursday. Yeah.
Which was canceled.
I guess he planned on leaving even earlier originally, and then when the party got canceled, he didn't leave as early. That's the only thing I can figure, because he definitely didn't get there early enough to go to the first part of the party. I know that much.
Right. Yeah, he got there fairly late, like 7 or 8 p.m., something like that.
Yeah.
I think he said he saw more damage from Hurricane Helene on his way down.
But yeah.
By the time he got to Central Florida, I don't think it was as bad as probably the west coast of Florida got, obviously. But
yeah. So, yeah, the plan was to arrive late Thursday.
Yeah.
To Wilderness Lodge. That was the original plan.
Right.
Friday was going to be MK.
Yeah.
And had purchased Lightning Lane multipass in advance for there.
Right.
And then I had already gone ahead and started and did Saturday. I'd done Epcot. That's what I had purchased for. So basically, I had purchased Lightning Lane multipass for MK on Friday and Lightning Lane multipass for Epcot on Saturday and individual Lightning Lanes for Guardians on Saturday.
Okay.
I didn't do any individual Lightning Lane at Magic Kingdom because the only one options are
Tron and
Mine Train. Seven Dwarfs.
Which,
yeah. I also figured that if I really wanted those, I probably could get them, like day of anyway.
Yeah, if you wanted to, yeah.
Which I don't know. I mean, I'm still of the opinion that I don't think Tron's really as necessary as it once was. It all depends on how long you want to wait. But you're not going to wait super long for that line. Again, my argument is it's just too reliable and it's not very long of a ride, so.
Yeah, right.
As to why it's going to keep moving is probably the reason why they took it off. But so my experience, with canceling this was, I don't know, in some ways a bit disappointing. I guess part of it was because the fact I had to do it, but.
Yeah.
But I ended up staying on hold a pretty good while the first time, but it was later in the evening. And apparently when I canceled the reservation, whenever you tell them all the information, they put you on a hold. They really, back in the day, they didn't used to be quite so repetitive with their hold music, by the way. I don't know what made them decide to do that. Like, it's only like a 5 or 6 minute loop, and then it repeats itself pretty much. I mean, it really is.
I guess I haven't been on hold that long in a while, but I thought they had... they play like Indiana Jones and Star Wars and all this stuff.
Not that I heard. You know how many times I heard Happily Ever After?
Oh, wow. Enough to not be happy about it?
Exactly.
Well, I imagine a lot of people were calling. I'm sure they got inundated with cancellations and modifications or whatever.
Yeah. And of course, they extended it still, their policy.
So did they offer you to just... reschedule or full refund?
No one that I spoke to ever just said that.
Yes.
They just basically did what I said.
Oh, okay.
But what I was going to say is once I gave them the information and told them the reason for the cancellation, usually they put you on a hold, they get this to do this stuff, they come back, and they tell me what I'm going to get, you know, refunded back. I mentioned at that point, what about the lightning lanes that I had already purchased? And then they mentioned how ticketing was already closed for that day, which I think is kind of stupid that they
can't handle it.
Yeah, all at one time. Like, you have to do two different areas as it is. Because think about it, this is all part of your process now. You've created this. You've made this part of your process.
Huh.
Like, you essentially force people to do this, right?
Yeah.
So, I ended up having to call back the next day to get only another wait. That one was probably 45 minutes or more to see about canceling the lightning lanes. Then, of course, I had to say the reason why. And then of course, they had to put me on the hold while they relayed all this information, apparently to a different department. As I was on hold, I noticed I was getting these emails, though, that I was getting refunded them. So I knew what the answer was.
They were doing
it. They came back.
Yeah,
right. I knew what the answer was.
They had done it, yeah.
Or I get someone on the line.
Well, right.
The cast member that I got the night before, though, didn't come across as particularly friendly, must say. So when it came down to the end, they talk about staying on for a brief survey. I just hung up pretty much. I usually like to stay on.
Didn't even give them a bad review.
No, I just got off. I was just tired of being on the phone.
I can understand that too.
Yeah.
I've gotten to where, and this isn't always the best option, but the chat feature on the app, and again, the ticketing thing, they probably would have said the same thing. You have to contact, because I think, I had done something once where I bought a lightning lane for someone who was not in my party. Like, they were eligible, but I didn't mean to. I accidentally bought a lightning lane for them. And I tried to use the chat, and they're like, you can't until, like, I don't remember what it was, like 8 a.m. or something, or 7 a.m. or whatever.
Yeah.
So they're like, you can't reach us until that time.
Right.
I had to wait until whatever, I forgot what the time was before they would help me. But,
you know, and actually this is, I forgot about this, but you just brought it up to me when you said chat. When I was doing the lightning lane thing, I was on hold for a long time. And, you know, I was actually talking to Messenger with you guys, and Jason mentioned something about the chat.
Yeah.
So I just hung up and I decided to try the chat. And then that's when they said, you need to call, basically.
Oh, really?
Huh. So I called back. Time, though, I got someone pretty quick. And I think it's because of the tone in which I answered the questions of what I wanted to do, possibly. Who knows?
Maybe.
It's like AI picked up on the fact that I wasn't happy, possibly. So
they sensed
it. I got someone really fast. That time.
Make note of that for next time.
Right. Really. It's like, I wonder if that's the reason. It may just have been coincidence.
Could have been. I definitely, it depends on what it is. I think for canceling a whole trip, I don't know if the chat or canceling certain things is probably, chat may not be the best option, but for little things.
This is the thing that gets me. So they do the cancellation, they tell me it's going to take, you know, like, I don't know, 3 to 5 business days or whatever it is before you see the refunds, right?
Yeah.
Whereas if I'm calling and making a change, say, for instance, when I made the change from Animal Kingdom Lodge to Disney's Wilderness Lodge, like, the refund on that was, like, immediate, you know, versus cancellation.
Yeah, go figure.
Yeah.
It's always the way it is, though. They always take
but
forever
that
w- to
that
give
was
you
done,
your money back.
And here's the thing, and that was done on a Sunday. But like I said, there was a difference, because what I had done is they had accidentally booked it twice. So they canceled one, and I got the money back on that one immediately.
Yeah.
Because I still had an active reservation, I'm assuming.
Probably. They're just like,
if you're not
actually spending money.
Yeah, if you're not actually spending money with them, it takes longer. Go figure on that one.
That's how they are. Yeah, whatever.
Anyway.
Keep it on the books as long as possible.
I guess. Who knows?
I
bet you some of those people booked back almost immediately.
Yeah, that's why I was wondering, did they just offer to reschedule people?
No, I never was told that. Let's put it that
way. So they refunded you for your tickets, too? They didn't, like, just say, hey, we
can... It was part of a package, so, you
know. Oh, I see. So it was both. I see. That's probably why, then. Okay.
Yeah, the only thing that was separate was, of course, lightning lanes. But I had to deal with that separate. Which, that's the thing that I don't understand. This is part of your process now.
It should
You're telling people you can do these in advance... then if you have to cancel, obviously you don't want to keep the lightning lanes that you're not going to use.
Yeah, I want to cancel.
Why is that not
passes,
all in one? Yeah. I'm not going to be able to go, but here, have this. You can just have this, you know, extra $300 or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, should just cancel that with it. That's kind of silly that they are like, oh, it's not us. Like,
well,
oh,
here,
you mean
that's the thing.
Flying reindeer.
Yeah. What's the thing is, why isn't reservations able to do that? Because you're due a ticket package through the whole thing if it's a package.
Like, oh, it's separate. It's completely different.
Right.
System.
And why is one, and the thing is, if you're going to do this, why is one area closed earlier than the other one?
It's a little frustrating. To force you to have to call back to cancel something that should have just canceled with everything else. Yeah. That's
pretty much.
Frustrating.
Especially as expensive as it is to add these things on.
Right.
Which to me, I'm looking at this and I'm looking at what same day availability I see. I'm like, you know what? I don't think going forward, I don't think I'm going to do anything in advance. I don't care if it's available or not. I'm not going to do 7 days in advance on any of it. I'm really not. I don't think it's necessary.
Well, depending on when you go, I assume.
Well, okay, if you're going to go during like Christmas, sure, it's necessary. But
spring break.
Yeah. But most times I'm thinking no, because I looked at when I was doing that.
Same day.
I looked at it. Yeah. I kept watching that sort of thing. And, you know, I'm sure there's some that were hard to pull. I think Jason mentioned he had a hard time pulling a Frozen, but he eventually did.
Right.
You know, a little.
Yeah, I'm sure it can't have been too busy this weekend, but busy as it would have been. Did you have any ADRs that you had to cancel too? Or?
I'd only done one at that point. Because
so
that was
easy.
One I was watching. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you just cancel on the app. It's easy.
Yeah.
The only time you have to call on those is if it's like
2 hours or
like, yeah, it's like right there is almost time to go.
Right.
Oh.
I was just curious if you hadn't canceled one, it would have charged you probably.
Probably. Yeah.
But I'm sure you could have gotten a refund on that too. If you're saying,
yeah, I could have spent more time on the phone.
But you were exactly. You would have had to call again.
And it's always, it's super easy to book things.
Right.
But you got to call to cancel. That's like everything else.
Yeah. I was trying to think. I don't know if I've canceled anything via chat, but I have actually, well, like I said, that time when I accidentally bought a lightning lane for somebody, I think it was an individual that wasn't on my immediate party, but they were eligible for lightning lane. They did it. They did refund me over the chat. So I didn't have to call, but it was, you know, it was one of those things where I had to wait until whatever time that ticket, whatever that department was started operating for the day.
Well, the thing that's funny to me is you have a certain day, right, that you have to cancel by, in which you can still cancel on the website. If it's after that day, you have to call. And I think that day is like 3 weeks before you arrive or something like that.
Really?
It's almost
that
a month.
Close? Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
because my paid in full date was early September, and my travel date was the 10th or 11th, right? So it's roughly a month.
Yeah. And you also found out you all kind of came down with...
Oh, yeah. We were sicker than thought,
yeah.
I guess.
It was like a double win.
Yeah.
Do you have any... I mean, you said you haven't thought about rescheduling it at this point, but is there a time you're thinking you might go back? Or,
well, I mean, it's a possibility if maybe MLK weekend or something like that.
So, like, January.
Beginning of the year.
Okay. That would be the weekend after the marathon weekend.
Yeah. Still probably a busy weekend.
Yeah, it could be.
You're actually going marathon weekend, aren't you?
Yeah, because I'm in it. Yeah.
Wow, that's what I was saying. Yeah, because you're right. But that's the weekend before, you say.
The marathon is the weekend before MLK, yeah, weekend.
Okay. I was going to say, because that weekend is the 18th, 19th, and 20th.
Yeah.
Same MLK weekend.
Yeah. The half marathon is on the 11th, January 11th.
Oh, okay.
All right. So there's a couple of news stories. You know, we talked about damage. One that I thought was interesting was Disneyland teasing Paint the Night coming back.
I heard about that.
But they haven't given an official date, but they're basically saying that's coming back.
Right now they're saying, when can we do this again?
Exactly. I kind of wish this was the one coming to Disney World, however.
Not likely.
No. Well, they said it would be a new parade next summer, nighttime parade for Disney World. So, but this was a really cool parade. I'm hoping that whatever Disney World gets is on par or better than Paint the Night. They probably should update Paint the Night because it's kind of, you know, include some newer IPs, but yeah.
Well, then you might as well just call it a whole new parade and bring it, make it Paint the Night then. I mean,
yeah.
Like we were just saying, the main theme was a movie that came out, at least like over a decade ago now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, a decade
Cars,
ago.
Wreck-It Ralph, had Toy Story in there. Wasn't Monsters, Inc. in there?
It was basically very stuff. Heavy Pixar, apparently. Well, actually, no, those things aren't Pixar, are they? Some of them aren't. Because Wreck-It Ralph wasn't, I think, wasn't Wreck-It Ralph Walt Disney Pictures?
Yeah. Yeah, that one Pixar? Wasn't Pixar, but I mean, Cars was, Toy Story. Anyway,
yeah,
a bunch of other stuff. Rise of the Resistance, Single Rider is now utilizing the pre-show, but they did bring Single Rider back, so that's good to know.
Yeah, I think they keep messing with it.
Yeah, they keep trying things out with it. That's cool.
I think the objective, obviously, is to fill all the cars up, which they don't always do without Single Rider.
Yeah, sometimes they have different odd numbers of parties, so you could utilize Single Rider. Jungle Cruise is scheduled to reopen a little earlier than expected following the 7-week long refurbishment.
Yes. Which is interesting because we figured it would just stay until it was Jungle Cruise. But
right. Well, it was supposed to schedule, I mean, it's really opening a couple of days before it was originally scheduled to, but
maybe it will be Jungle Cruise then.
We'll find out. Yeah, I don't know if, I doubt they would make it Jungle Cruise that early. They can do that in like a day. So,
yeah.
It's not hard to turn that one over. It's hard to get that Jeep to turn over, though.
No pun intended.
Let's see. Typhoon Lagoon reopened on the 12th.
Okay.
So,
After Wilderness reopened on the 13th.
Yeah. So, everything is kind of back to normal operating procedures, seems like. So,
speaking of earlier, when you're talking about the damage and everything.
Yeah.
Some video of World Drive on, I guess it would have been Friday, where people were still pulling in, and they had water on World Drive, right? Like there were some floodwaters on World Drive, but they had that pump where they actually got it off pretty quick.
Yeah.
You pumped that off the road pretty quick, so.
Yeah. Disney's always good at getting things back to normal quickly. They can do that. That's why it never takes more than a day usually to turn this stuff around. I'm looking at any other, I mean, we saw, you know, Polynesian had damage. We talked about that.
I saw an interesting piece. You watched TPM Vids, obviously, right? Did you see that one about the Yeti that they did just recently?
I haven't watched that one, no.
You need to watch that one. It's interesting because they kind of bring up the topic about how, whether or not it was the structure that's the issue, but they basically kind of talked about how all the evidence points toward it being the animatronic itself that needs to have some repaired, basically.
I mean, by now, it probably needs work done if it's just been sitting there for 20 years.
Something I didn't realize, apparently there was a time period after the last refurb in which they kept it in B mode, but they did the A mode lighting so you can actually see it more. Huh. And but the strobe still was flashing, so I don't know. I don't know if they were experimenting with something or what, but because you really can't even see him in B mode, not much.
Yeah. I mean, it's really...
But I think the idea of that one is to hide him so you can't tell he's not moving, so...
Yeah. I mean, it's so fast that you see it with the strobe light effect on it, you barely really can register what it is before it's like, oh, wait, that was a giant something.
Yeah, you can't really see him that well, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that it...
I really wish I would have gotten the chance to see this one in its full glory.
Yeah, I would say if anybody out there who's never really seen much about it, there's the History Channel did that special on it, and you can find it on YouTube where you get to see it in motion, like when they were testing it. Not, I don't even think it was in the show building. It was like probably in California when they were staging it. but to see that thing in motion, it was very impressive. And so big.
Like, I gotta say, you just don't realize just how big the thing is.
Yeah.
In those few seconds.
It's massive, yeah. There's definitely a whole documentary
just,
on it.
Just that arm, even the arm alone.
Right. It's a massive animatronic, and yeah, it's a shame that it never really.
Yeah, I think it was June 15th, 2008 was the last, was the first day that they was they noticed it without the.
Without it operating like it should.
So it lasted about a year and a half, maybe. I can't remember the actual opening date. I think it was like 2006, someday in 2000.
Yeah, it was 2006, so yeah.
So it may have operated 2 years then.
Let's see. For sure, it was April 7th, 2006. And it's operating January 26th, 2006. Anyway.
So it operated just a tad over 2 years. If June 15th, 2008 was today, which I think it is.
$100 million attraction, which if you look that up on YouTube, it's there's a lot of Joe Rohde in it. It's called Expedition Everest Building a Thrill Ride. Was it on Discovery Channel? Discovery Channel, not History Channel. Sorry. Anyway, that was a long rabbit trail, but it's on YouTube out there. Anywho, anything else that we want to go over? I think we've...
I can't think of anything.
All right. And maybe we should wrap it up. Disney Cruise Line cancels Grand Cayman stop due to choppy waters. So...
That was the other thing, though, that, you know, originally we had talked about doing the Wish before doing this trip, and that one got canceled, of course. So...
That sailing got canceled? Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it went right over Canaveral, too. Forgot about that. Yeah,
you got to think it also went out into the Atlantic after it passed through. So there's that. So, yeah it was, and the sailing we were looking at was supposed to go out on the 11th, and that one got canceled. So,
wow.
There you go.
It just wasn't meant to be, I guess.
Yeah, that was the, you know, what we had discussed originally, but it was just too expensive, really.
Well,
for whatever reason. It was like double the price for that week compared to the other ones. It was just crazy.
It was just like holiday week or something?
I guess. They must have had demand, but
I guess so. Yeah. Speaking of demand, where else can we be found out there? And
where can we be found on demand?
Yeah.
Well, there is always Facebook, X, and Instagram. That is all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store, which you can get your exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. We also have a YouTube channel, as we just mentioned. And where else can we be found, Adam?
Our website, travelingwiththemouse.com. We have an email address, podcast at travelingwiththemouse.com. So, for John, my name is Adam. This has been Traveling with the Mouse. And we hope you will join us on our next trip. As long as there's no hurricanes in the way. Hopefully not.
Our next trip that can be canceled.
Oh. Yeah, all right. There's still, another month of hurricane season? So,
not likely to have anything else.
Seems less active right now, so.